Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Lucid Group's fourth quarter 2023 earnings call. Joining me today are Peter Rawlinson, our CEO and CTO, and Gagan Dhingra, our interim CFO and principal accounting officer. Before handing the call over to Peter, let me remind you that some of the statements on this call include forward-looking statements under federal securities laws. These include, without limitation, statements regarding the future financial performance of the company, production and delivery volumes, financial and operating outlook and guidance, macroeconomic and industry trends, company initiatives, and other future events. These statements are based on predictions and expectations as of today, and actual events or results may differ due to a number of risks and uncertainties. We refer you to the cautionary language and the risk factors in our most recent filings with the SEC and the forward-looking statements on page 2 of our investor deck, available on the investor relations section of our website at ir.lucidmotors.com. In addition, management will make reference to non-GAAP financial measures during this call. A discussion of why we use non-GAAP financial measures and information regarding reconciliation of our GAAP versus non-GAAP results is available in our earnings press release issued earlier this afternoon, as well as in our investor deck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. My name is Bodie, and I am your host. And on today's episode, we are going to cover Lucid Motors Q4 2023 earnings call. A couple things before we jump into the call. Peter Rawlinson, Lucid CEO, and Gagan Dhingra, hopefully I said that right, Dhingra. I practiced. This new CFO of Lucid, their opening remarks were 35 minutes long. And I have a theory when they have very long opening remarks is that they don't want to talk to the analysts and they don't want to answer questions that might make them look bad. So that's just my general thought. Sometimes we'll get opening remarks that are at most 20 minutes between both the CEO and CFO, and then there are times 35 minutes. This whole earnings call was only an hour and 5 minutes long, so more than half of it was the opening remarks, and then they had retail investor questions. So right about the 45-minute mark, maybe a little less than that, they started taking questions from analysts. So there's 20 minutes of questions in an hour and a half, or in an hour and 5 minute earnings call from analysts. So we're going to break all that down for you. But before we do, I do need to say, Peter Rawlinson says TAM a lot. And I did not know what TAM was, so I had to look it up. So as far as I can tell, when he says TAM in his throughout this earnings call, he's talking about total addressable market. I hope that's clear. I don't know that I've ever heard him say that before or as many times as he did during this earnings call. Like if he said it before, I just skip past it because, you know, there's lots of businessy terms that I don't know what they are. But he says TAM so many times. It's the new laser focused of these earnings calls. He just says it over and over and over again. I don't know how much that's going to come across on the edited clips that I'm going to provide for you. But boy, he says it a lot. So let's go ahead and jump into Peter's opening remarks, which, you know, kind of plays like a commercial. Like, Heinrich Fisker has nothing on Peter Rawlinson when it comes to marketing. You know, Peter Rawlinson is the Joe Rogan, whereas Heinrich Fisker is the bald, chubby podcaster who podcasts in his basement and is talking to you right now. I am. I'm the buffoon. I'm the Heinrich Fisker of podcasting, is what I'm saying. All right, let's get into Peter's opening remarks, which, as always, have been edited down to be relevant for what we talk about on this show. You can always go and listen to the full earnings call, and I'll put a link in the show notes.
Through 2023, we dramatically expanded our advanced manufacturing plant in Arizona, which we call AMP1, and that was in preparation for Gravity. We built a state-of-the-art general assembly line that is capable of assembling both Gravity and Air on the same line. And we'll continue to vertically integrate where it makes the most sense in areas of stamping, body and light for Gravity, a paint shop expansion, and the new powertrain facility at AMP1. We built the first ever car manufacturing plant in Saudi Arabia for semi-knockdown kits, and more recently this year, we also broke ground for the manufacturing of the completely built-up cars there. These are critical long-term investments that are reflected in our cost of goods sold. Now, the imagery in our earnings presentation, I hope, gives you some sense of the scope and scale of what we're doing. When you see it in person and walk the different shops in the factory, you truly start to understand how we're building a state-of-the-art factory for the future. In fact, in January of this year, we had more than 100 guests representing over 60 strategic suppliers for Gravity, Air, and for potentially mid-size come to our factory. The feedback and support from our suppliers was extraordinary. They highlighted our best-in-class and advanced technology and continued investment in our production facilities, which provide a material signal of our long-term commitment. My key message to them was one of growth, the critical need for obsessed partners, focused upon excellence and the importance of driving this journey together. So I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to all of them.
Peter Rawlinson, always the marketer. Some of the things that I did not include in this clip were Lucid Air won a bunch of awards. He did say that the Lucid Gravity was great. It was fantastic. I don't think he said this quite this way, but I wrote down greatest thing since sliced bread. The Lucid Gravity, if you don't know, is Lucid's full-sized SUV. He talked about it heading to Europe at some point. He talked about their Saks Fifth Avenue partnership, which he said gives them access to Saks customers, and they can do or sign up for test drives at the Saks Fifth Avenue locations. So, I mean, I would assume I know what demographic shops at Saks Fifth Avenue. And that's probably a pretty decent partnership. I don't know how many conversions they're getting of Saks customers, but, you know, people who shop at Saks Fifth Avenue tend to have money. So that's probably a good deal for them. Continuing on with the relevant parts of Peter's opening remarks.
Now, on the R&D side, we continue to invest for future supremacy. And I'm incredibly excited about our roadmap, both from an innovation and from a cost perspective. Now, in 2023, we also raised $3 billion, including unparalleled support of $1.8 billion in equity funding from our largest shareholder, the PIF. Now, Gagan will talk about liquidity in further detail. We formed our technology licensing and access business through our first such deal with Aston Martin, and we're actively exploring additional and even broader technology and supply agreements. We also had sales to a rental car company, and we're very pleased with early results. Lucid's range and efficiency are perfectly suited for fleets. And in fact, we saw new incremental orders from that rental car company due to demand. Of course, we haven't yet scaled this business. We're taking a methodological approach, which is prudent, and we're pleased with what we're seeing thus far. This is yet another tool to help grow our brand awareness and allow potential customers experience the car.
Okay, so we got a very brief R&D update in that. If you're curious as to the 1.8 or 1. Point whatever billion dollars it was investment from PIF, that's the Saudi Public Investment Fund. And Saudi Arabia has committed to purchasing 50,000 cars from Lucid. And then there's an optional 50,000 more cars that they could purchase if they pick up that option over 10 years. And these purchases include the Lucid Air, the Lucid Gravity, and Lucid's upcoming midsize platform, which will be out sometime in 2026. And he mentioned a little bit about rental car companies. If you've been watching the news, the Hertz CEO was ousted because of his investment in EVs, because of, you know, a variety of reasons that we've talked about on this show. So I'm not going to go into that. But I would imagine that rental car companies out there are weighing their options carefully. Let's put it that way. And then he mentioned the partnership between Aston Martin and Lucid when it comes to licensing technology. We're going to hear more about that or those agreements later, about maybe some other potential licenses of technology. We don't get any solid information, but we... I should say that we get some small details that we can talk about a little bit later. I'll leave it at that. It's nothing groundbreaking, nothing revolutionary, but I did think it was interesting. Let's go ahead and move on to our next clip of Peter's opening remarks, which includes software updates.
2023 was also a year where we made significant progress with our in-house software capabilities. Software is more than just the user interface. We have some of the best software engineers in the world working on everything from user interface to new features, to powertrain, to infrastructure. In fact, we developed and have been transitioning to our own in-house over-the-air software infrastructure. This not only helps our OTA functionality, but it's also a source of cost savings. Now, building an OTA software as a service platform is no small feat, one that I believe most other car companies would simply not be able to do. And it's another example of technology aiding costs. And of course, this is a platform that we could potentially monetize in the future.
I just want to address the comment that most automakers would not be able to figure out how to do over-the-air updates, over-the-air software updates. That's not true. It's at this point, we're pretty established, and this is the wave of the future. They're going forward. Most modern cars, we'll say the next 10 years, I'll give myself a little leeway in this, you're not going to have to go to the dealer to get a software update done. That's just not going to happen. There'll be over-the-air updates, and that'll be fine. As somebody who drives a fire truck that has a ton of sensors on it, and those sensors frequently fail sounding alarms, and you can't turn them off from my side, I would love it if the manufacturers would recognize that, hey, we have this group of sensors that is bad, so we're just going to turn off all of the alarms sounding for those sensors because we know it's an issue. Why am I bringing this up? Because it happens all the time on the trucks that I drive. I drive two trucks. I drive an LT, which looks like a fire engine, except for it's got no pump. It just carries ladders. And I drive a ladder truck, which has all the same equipment the LT has, except for it's got that great big 100-foot ladder on the top, and it's quite a bit longer. anyway, my point is I over the air updates are amazing. It's not, I'm sure it's not easy, but it's not some revolutionary thing at this point. We are all used to getting over the air updates on our computers, on our, I mean, I get over the air updates for my alarm system. Like, everybody gets all of their updates at this point. What I'm trying to say is it's not the flex he thinks it is. Just leave it there. Next up, we're going to hear about some challenges that Lucid faced in 2023.
Now, I want to be transparent as well. We also had some challenges. Firstly, the macroeconomic and higher interest rate environment impacted many in this market. And in the new markets to us, there's been some learning. For example, in Saudi Arabia, we learned that there are different market dynamics and intricacies unique to that market. And so we had to scale that business differently for growth. But we've addressed the pain points. We're scaling up and expect good growth in the region this year. Now, we've also faced some technical challenges with commencing production of the rear-wheel drive Pure in the fourth quarter. This is normal when doing something so advanced and so efficient. As I said, a landmark achievement with a 4.74 miles of range per kilowatt hour. This is our most accessible car, and we had challenges ramping it up. But I'm delighted to say that we've now overcome these challenges and are now fully ramped in Pure production.
We've heard many on earnings calls, many CEOs complaining about high interest rates. I don't really have anything to add in terms of the challenges in selling a vehicle in Saudi Arabia, because I genuinely have no idea what those might be. And they had some technical difficulties with the rear-wheel drive Lucid Air Pures. Sounds like they're getting that worked out. So that's great. I'm not going to play you the CFO's comments, just because there wasn't much in there that would be considered interesting for this show. Again, I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you're wanting that kind of thing. I will say that Fisker, from the CFO's comments, we got an update that Fisker produced 8,428 vehicles in 2023. They delivered 6,001 vehicles, which is up 17% year over year. And then they, just in Q4 of 2023, they were able to produce 2,391 vehicles. And they delivered 1,734 vehicles in Q4 of 2023.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our retail investor questions. I am going to be honest with you. I did not think that Peter Rawlinson did a great job answering any of these questions in the detail that I think the retail investors wanted. I think that Peter, he definitely had on his marketing hat. And It wasn't, these aren't great answers, but they're great questions. So that's why we're going to include them. And I didn't include every retail investor's questions, just the ones that I thought were relevant. So let's go ahead and start off. I think we have two. So we'll start with our first one.
Our next question is from Paul. Do you plan to reduce time to market for new products? Gravity is delayed 1 year. Third model is now mooted as mid to late decade instead of 2025. As shareholders, we're losing value due to failures and delays. What happened to the all-star team and proven track record?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I mean, well, we saw unprecedented external forces that impacted us with COVID and the global supply chain disruption. And that impacted many in the industry, not just Lucid. But I would say this, you know, if Tesla is the benchmark for engineering speed. You know, if you look at the time taken between the start of production of Tesla Model S and X, it was just a bit over 3 years. If you look at where, you know, I mean, we're scheduled for production for Gravity late this year, that's going to be a very similar time period between production of Air and Gravity, and that's despite it not being a derivative product of Air, a whole new platform. So I think that is a world-leading pace of engineering. And for a small team to get Gravity out, a landmark product, a completely differentiated product in just over 3 years. Now, mid-size, what we've done is define a schedule for it. We're scheduling for late 26. Very similar in time scale. You know, it's right there. I think this is world-class execution, frankly.
So I'm asking you, did he answer that question? I don't think he did. He talked about the mid-size platform a little bit, which I think will be a big seller for Lucid. But here's the thing. Peter Rawlinson did say all of those things about how they had a world-class team in place, and maybe they do. But he, early on, when Lucid started making cars, he made comments about how they're not going to run into these production problems because they have such a mature team and they have better technology and all of these things. So I want to go back to his comparison with Tesla. When the Model X came out, it was roughly 4 years. It was 2012 is when the Model S was released, 2016 when the Model X came out. Now, there could be a little less than that depending on when the Model S was released and the Model X was released. You understand how that works. But in the years 2012, 2016, Lucid delivered the first Lucid Air Dream Edition October 21st, 2021. So, or October 30th, 2021. And that, which I thought it was a long time ago. I can't believe that it's taken them this long to deliver the car. Because they started, or we heard about the Lucid Air in December of 2016. And then 5 years later, they finally released the Lucid Air Dream Edition in 2021. So Peter Rawlinson's timeline is pretty accurate in what he's saying. So I have no issue with that. The difference is that Tesla was selling about 50,000 Model S's a year in 2016, whereas right now, based on a 2023 numbers, Lucid's selling less than 9,000 Lucid Airs a year. So based on this earnings call, Lucid is saying that scale is an issue. They need to scale production. Well, they have been doing this since 2021 or they've been doing it longer than that, but they've been delivering cars since late 2021, and they still have not gotten to that point of scaling production. And maybe, yes, maybe their supplier deals were terrible. They got hit with COVID, got hit with supply chain issues. Maybe all of that stuff is true, but they're still selling less than 10,000 cars a year, which is around 700, slightly more than 700 cars a month being sold, not even being delivered, I guess, being produced. We'll say being produced because they only delivered 6,000. So we're less than 700 cars a month being sold for Lucid. That's a problem. If you can't scale up your current production on your car that you've been building for close to 3 years now, and it's really been more than that because there was the lead up time to this. If you can't hit scale in that time, what makes you think that you're going to hit scale on yet another product? So their plan is to build the Lucid Gravity and the Lucid Air on the same line, which may not be that bad of a plan considering they're building less than 700 or around 700 cars a month. That's probably economical. I don't know. But how efficient is this? I would imagine it's probably not very efficient because Peter Rawlinson will talk a little bit later about the differences in between the Lucid Air and the Lucid Gravity. And there are quite a bit of things that are the same, but there are some big differences. And I don't know how exactly that is going to end up translating to manufacturing and how difficult that is. But I'm going to guess that it's not an easy transition, especially when you are maxed out around 700 vehicles a month. If you can't produce more than that, then that's a problem. I predict that Lucid's going to hit about 13,000 vehicles delivered in 2023. I really hope I'm wrong on that, but I'll say 13,000 vehicles delivered in 2023. In terms of Lucid Air Gravities, I don't have high hopes that they're going to hit their mark of delivering anything in late 2024. It might be one of those cases where they deliver like 5 or 10 because that way they can say they did it. I don't have high hopes. And I like Lucid and I like Peter Rawlinson. A lot of people don't. I like him. I just don't see this as being, I don't know, there's so many, I'm getting so many red flags, but I don't know enough about manufacturing and business to adequately explain why I'm feeling these red flags. But I am. All right, let's move on to the next and retail investor question, which is Peter Rawlinson going to take a pay cut? It's a great question.
Okay, and we'll take our last day question from Daniel. Do you plan to take a salary cut to reduce losses or plan to buy back shares to improve stock health?
Well, many may not be aware of my founding role in this company as we know it today. You know, I joined the company around 11 years ago with the clear goal of making the very best electric vehicle and to drive a revolution towards sustainable transportation, which was going to benefit everyone on the planet. Around there, we were called Ativa, and I guess we had around 19 employees. So in 2021, I received a one-time CEO stock grant, and this was solely determined and approved by the board of directors. And a significant portion of that vested due to the company achieving certain market capitalization milestones, as we publicly disclosed in 2023. So I think there's a huge misperception that this one-time grant was received as a salary and somehow will be replicated as my salary in the future. In fact, in 2023, at my request, I did not receive a bonus for 2022, nor did I receive any further equity grants in 22 or 23. And I just want to assure you my mission and my dedication is still unwavering. I have not sold a single share of stock in all this time, over 10 years, except what was absolutely necessary for tax purposes. And the company stock I received from the grant remains in the form of company stock. And so I am also directly tied, personally tied, directly and hugely to the company's performance as a key shareholder. And so I'm incentivized that way. My promise is to continue to work tirelessly day and night to drive brand awareness, to deliver more cars, to sign more technology licensing and access agreements, to drive down costs, and to bring the Gravity and mid-sized platforms to market. We have an incredible team. We're driving forward. And I'm incredibly excited about our products and, moreover, our future.
All right. I don't know how much of this is true or not true, but I do know that it is illegal to lie during these conference calls. So I tend to believe that this is true. But there are ways to phrase things that could be considered ambiguous or non-committal. So I looked it up. According to Fortune, Peter Rawlinson received a $379 million compensation package in 2022, which I'm guessing this was for 2021, for his role as CEO, which is quite a bit of money. He also has $5.5 million in stock options. So he has $379 million in stock, or right around that, with $5.5 million in stock options. That's a lot of money. No matter how you look at it, that's a lot of money. But his actual base salary is only $575,000 a year. So it's not nothing, for sure. And people can go back and look to see if he sold any of this stock, you know, more than what he's saying to cover tax purposes. And I don't know how the tax stuff works, but if he did sell more stock than he's letting on, that's easy for folks who know how to do it to look up. All right, let's move on to our analyst question, which is roughly, you know, which is more important, the Lucid Gravity or the midsize platform, which is going to come in 2026?
Our first question comes from the line of John Murphy with Bank of America. Your line is open.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Long day here. Peter, as you think about the Gravity, you know, it's really kind of showcasing your technology, not just on the powertrain, but also in the body and structures of the vehicle, meaning just you have maximum interior space for the footprint. It's pretty impressive. You know, as we think about the Gravity, you know, it seems like it's going to be a game changer for you in the market. However, it does seem like the midsize platform may be even more important. As we think about the launch of these two programs late this year and then the midsize in 2026, you know, in relative importance, which is more important for Lucid for mid to long-term success? And how do you kind of gauge that relative size of importance to the company?
Thank you, John. I mean, if you'd asked the question a year or two ago, people would question our technology. Today, it's a given. The world knows we've got the very best technology. What we haven't got is scale and an economy of scale. And that is going to take place in three critical steps. And the first step happened last week. We launched our Pure Stealth initiative. Lucid Air is now available at $69,900, the best EV on the planet at that price. That puts us into three times the TAM, the total addressable market, because now we go into E-class Mercedes territory rather than S-class. So step one, Pure, from $69,900, three times the total addressable market. And then scheduled for production late this year, we have Gravity, the SUV. We're talking about six times the TAM with Gravity. And then scheduled for production late 26, the third step on this journey, midsize, 20 times the TAM. It's all about scale. We've got the tech. The tech is designed for scale. It's about achieving scale. And with that, we'll get the economies of scale and the margins and the profitability.
So ultimately, just to kind of interpret that, I mean, we're fighting to the position of getting to that even greater scale with the midsize, and that probably is the sort of the fulcrum point and where you'll get to escape velocity on profitability and cash flow. Is that a
totally,
fair statement?
Totally. Okay. Today, we're competing with Mercedes and Porsche. With midsize, we compete directly with Tesla Model Y, Model 3. That's the best-selling car in the world.
Saying you have the best technology hands down does not make it true. I do believe that Lucid has some great tech in their cars. They're beautiful vehicles. I've not seen many people have negative things to say about the Lucids. However, that's a subjective statement. I wish he would stop doing that. Like, I get it. There's some of this stuff that you have to say as a CEO, but continuously saying that you have the best tech in the world, it doesn't make it true. It's subjective. It's your opinion. There's lots of great technology out there. And what are you speaking on, you know, specifically? You can't just make this grandiose statement. If you say we have the best motors in the world and that can be tested, great. And you do, then great, then say it. But I'm just like, that's wearing on me, like this technology, you know, or not technology, these grandiose statements that without any backing of them. All right. We talked about this a little bit earlier. They need scale. I agree. You can't scale, however, without demand. I don't think Lucid has a demand issue, but they just need to figure out this whole manufacturing thing. They need to build more than 700 cars a month, you know, which is, you know, about 175 cars a week. It's not a lot. All right, let's move on to our next clip, which talks about Lucid licensing their technology out to be used on hybrids, in hybrid cars, maybe even in hydrogen fuel cell vehicle cars. Let's learn a little bit more about that.
You mentioned the potential for hybrid technology or joining, yeah. Obviously, an ICE engine to be part of a hybrid powertrain. I mean, one, what kind of discussions are going on there? And two, you know, I mean, you know, in layman's terms, you know, there's all these positions that an electric motor could be put or placed in the ICE, you know, powertrain from P0 all the way back to P4 and, you know, various positions in the middle. As you kind of envision, you know, what you could bring to the table and the potential positioning or integration with an ICE engine to make a presumably pretty efficient powertrain for a hybrid, you know, where would you land in that positioning? And have you even thought of that at this point? So if you just talk about discussions that are going on and then sort of your thought process about how you would integrate into an ICE engine.
Yes. So we always envisaged a key pillar of our business being the technology licensing and supply wing. We've got the best technology and that's recognized. Our arrangement with Aston Martin last year has triggered an increase in interest in our technology. And we're also growing our own internal team so that we'll be able to not just be receiving passively inquiries, but actually become a little bit more proactive in the future. Actually, the application for hybrid has come as an external inquiry, because if you look at the core capabilities of our powertrain, the unique selling price of it, proposition of it, is its efficiency. Well, that applies equally to, say, a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle or a gasoline electric hybrid, and also its compactness for its power. And that is very relevant to the hybrid, because in a hybrid, you've got to stuff in a gasoline engine and exhaust and all that stuff and that paraphernalia and electric motors and battery. And it's really becomes a packaging puzzle plus. And because we've got the most compact technology, that ideally lends itself to that. Now, Lucid's not going to do hybrids. We're wedded to battery electric. We believe pure BEV is the solution. But certainly the hybrid opportunity opens up a whole new market arena for our technology.
I don't think he's saying that it's going to be easy to use Lucid technology on or in hydrogen fuel cell vehicles or in hybrid vehicles, but I'm not an engineer, but I think this is going to cause engineering challenges more. Let's say this. I think it's going to cause more engineering challenges for these companies if they're going to do this, to license it for hybrids or fuel cell cars, than it's probably worth. Like Lucid has their products designed for electric vehicles. I don't know what it's going to look like on the hardware side, the software side, the electrical engineering side to add this technology to those other vehicles. But it seems like from a third-party manufacturer standpoint, it might be more difficult than it's worth. From a Lucid side, it makes total sense because they're just like, yeah, here, license our technology, write us a check, here you go. But from a manufacturer side, it would seem like it's not a plug-and-play solution. Let's go ahead and move on to our final clip, which is all about manufacturing advancements to drive down cost, which I am a big fan of. So let's listen to that.
Our next question comes from the line of Doug Dutton with Evercore ISI. Your line is open.
Hey, Peter. So you mentioned a few manufacturing advancements coming to further drive down cost in 2024.
Yes.
I was just curious if you can quantify those or give us a couple examples on initiatives that you have in progress right now to help on that cost side of the business.
Right. So we're really looking at further vertical integration, particularly in our factory in Arizona. We're bringing stamping in-house, and that is going to be right alongside the new body shop for our Gravity. So we will reduce the operational costs, we'll reduce OPEX, we'll reduce inbound logistics costs, we will actually reduce scrap as well. And there's an internal efficiency as well by having an integrated state-of-the-art hydraulic transfer stamping line with laser blanking facility fully integrated. Then we're actually moving our powertrain, which is already vertically integrated, our world-class motors, inverters, drive units, all in-house at the moment, but that's in a separate factory up the road, so we'll save those logistics costs by actually putting them under the same roof as our main factory in Arizona, so we will save operational and will be efficiencies. The other thing we're integrating into that factory is a logistics, and we've been able to draw down some of the cross-docks. I think all our cross-docks now virtually have been drawn down upon, so we've got all the inbound logistics cost savings. And then the other thing we're doing is I've really revised the organization so that quality reports directly into me. We're really driving down man hours per vehicle. But perhaps, Gagan, you could provide a little bit more color on some of the initiatives you're driving, leading to drive down cost.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So we have identified three initiatives. One, scale. Scale will help us improve our margins. This is technology and volume race. BOM, we took some initiatives in 2023 and we are seeing the results. But more importantly, we have identified additional opportunities that we look to operationalize in 2024. On operational efficiency, which is number three, and as Peter mentioned, we are looking multiple areas. One, freight, we made significant improvements in 23 and looking more in 2024. Logistics specifically, as we moved from our LOC warehouse to AMP 1 phase to general assembly, this has really helped us in reducing the cost. This is a consistent exercise and we are looking this very carefully. This is my number one goal, having the cost optimization. But again, it is not easy. We're looking at it consistently. And also we have initiated a team under me specifically looking each area very carefully, looking at each dollar and bring the efficiencies. But as we grow, as we scale, it will bring us efficiencies. This is a technology and volume race.
Yeah, scale is critical because, you know, to drive down the COGS, you've got that fixed cost component, and it's the amortization of your fixed costs and overhead depreciation per vehicle. So this is what, this is, you know, the initiative to start at $69,000, this three-step hitting our total addressable market. The scale will drive down the costs.
I don't have anything to add to this. I just think that I think the manufacturing process is fascinating, and how they improve, how companies improve efficiencies and their processes to make it more economical to build these vehicles. I think that's really interesting. So I thought this clip was really interesting, but I don't have anything to add to it. So with that, we're going to go ahead and call this our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. On Friday's show, we're back to EV news. So I hope you all enjoyed the interviews and special episodes that we had. If you want to email me, you can. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter or X at 918digital. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you on Friday. Oops, you know what? I forgot one clip, and we'll just play it here at the end, and then we'll let it go. This one has to do with how many parts the air and the gravity share. I mentioned this earlier when we talked about Lucid using the same line to produce the gravity in the air. It was a whole long diatribe on my part, so it'd be irresponsible of me to not include it. So let's go ahead and listen. And then I will talk to you on Friday.
My second question relates to the air and the gravity. If I put aside the differences in the interior and exterior of the vehicles, are you able to share roughly what proportion of parts and componentry are shared? I guess the fact that these vehicles are using different platforms may impact the variable cost down assumptions. It was previously communicated that both vehicles would leverage LEAP.
Okay, let me cover that. If you look at the battery pack, which is the core part of the bill of materials of both vehicles, it is about 95% the same. They've both got the same number of modules, the same number of cells. They're made exactly on the same line. It's just that the two of the top modules are in a different location. We move them from underneath the rear seat in air to underneath the front seat in gravity. This has a transformative effect upon the nature of the vehicle, which in turn leads to a much bigger TAM. We can only capture that TAM by having a degree of differentiation. Now, if you look at the core powertrain, the drive units and the inverters, they're very, very high proportion carryover. Slightly different gear ratios because the wheels are bigger and you need more tractability, so you have slightly lower gear ratios. Now, the rest of the platform is very similar, which has meant that it's saved on our R&D costs because we've got all the learning and the process knowledge of how we rivet and glue the sheets, the stampings, the castings, and the extrusions together. But there is a degree of difference in that platform, which I think makes a whole bunch of sense because it makes the Gravity a true SUV, not some sort of soft CUV derivative. And that means we go into a whole new TAM six times. We would not be able to capture that TAM. And also, you'd need to double the tools anyway because of the extra volume. So then we look at the upper body shell of the car. They're always going to be different anyway. So we're talking about a very slight increase in tooling costs, but in return for that, we truly enter a massively bigger TAM six times, and this is all about economy of scale. We've got the technology. It's designed for scale. We just haven't achieved that scale yet, and so therefore it's not showing on our P&L.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.